Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
You're lucky we don't do this show live. Maybe we should start doing this show live.
We could.
I've thought about it.
We could do YouTube Lives.
I've thought about it.
If I got technologically smarter, we could pull it off. And then you wouldn't even have to upload to YouTube. It would just be there. You crop the audio, post it a couple days later. It could work.
We'd have to answer questions live.
We'd have
to have a third man, though.
Yeah, you would. You'd have to have a producer.
Because they're starting. They're funneling the questions.
Oh, yeah.
They're stopping.
Oh, yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I loved Austin. But
yep.
Our last producers have not been the go-getters that we thought they would be.
Well, and the podcast was secondary to Austin's roles, too, so.
No, I know.
But, yeah.
It's not like the podcast makes enough money to hire someone.
Right. Well, heck, the plumbing company didn't make enough money to support a videographer. That's why we had somebody ask us on that on YouTube. They were like, dude, it's been like a long time since you've uploaded a full-length video. Is everything good? And I said, yeah. Yeah, everything's good.
Oh, you mean on Smedley Plumbing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, what are you talking about? I'm uploading one every fucking week.
I said, we restructured the business a little bit, and we got rid of the video roll because it just was not profitable. It was costing us more to have the videographer than the videos we're producing. So,
sorry.
I said, we may get back into it in the future. You never know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. People are wondering, like, what the fuck are they talking about? Because sometimes Mitch and I argue pre-show.
Oh, yeah.
About what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So
maybe I'll make a short of it and just shove it out there.
But for those that don't know, we do video on the plumbing company, and it helps us in other ways, not just the direct video. We get about $1,000 a month in revenue from YouTube from like ads. But if you rank your videos right and you build your videos right, they can greatly help your Google search results in your company. So if you're going to start a YouTube channel for your service company, make sure you follow some rules with creation of video, like making it Googleable things, making it things that people search, and making your video titles things that actually show up in search queries. And you can go to Google Search Console, and you can look up things that are trending and things that are actually searching for each, like the actual words people are searching, and then you can just title your video that. So like, I've got videos for like, do I need a thermal expansion tank? That's the title of the video. How do I reset my hot water heater? That's the title of the video. How do I adjust the temperature in my shower? That's the title of the video. These are all Googleable search terms that become video titles that allow our company to rank really well.
Did you see co-host stab other co-host in the face during live video feed on YouTube?
I don't think they're searching that.
I guarantee they are.
For those that don't know.
If it happens.
Today is the first day of Dave's menstruation cycle. And so he's a little edgy.
I'm just in a bad mood.
So what set Dave and I, so we did last week, David and I had a phenomenal trip to one of our Tradewinds clients up in Maryland. We have never been to Maryland. It was awesome.
The trip was fantastic.
The trip was amazing. The scenery was amazing. The clients are amazing.
Their business is great.
Their employees are great. Business is going to double this year because of our trip, which is freaking awesome.
The freaking food was great.
Yeah. Seafood.
They had a bar that was literally 27 steps from the hotel.
It's called the Jetty.
That was great.
If you're ever in the Narrows area of Maryland.
Kent. Yeah.
Kent Island. You got to hit up the Jetty.
Kent Narrows. The Jetty.
Yeah.
Like if you want to go to a place where you will see
rich old dudes,
different type of person on the planet
in
one 40 by 60 bar.
Yeah. Yeah. 40 by 60. Yeah.
That's where you go. Dude, it was, tens, gay guys, old guys,
rich old guys, private pilots,
consultants,
us,
plumbers,
yeah,
fishermen,
watermen.
Yeah. You keep saying watermen. I'm not even really sure what the fuck a waterman is.
That's what they call them. That's what they call crab fishermen, watermen.
Well, I but there were fishermen there too.
Yeah.
That do other things other than crab.
They're watermen.
Dude, it was.
They had girls that are on the prowl for watermen.
It was like when you go to a bar like that around here, and it's past 10 o'clock, there's a fist fight every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like everyone was telling us, dude, the jetties, they call it the sweaty jetty. Like there's fights there all the time. Like it's just testosterone fueled, blah, blah, blah. We're in there. Like
pretty chill.
Dude, we have Mo. What's the
Mo Country?
Mo Country down the road.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a fight every 15 minutes in there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, we go to this place.
Mo Country is like Roadhouse.
Yeah.
If you want to like picture Roadhouse or picture Mo Country, just picture Roadhouse and that's Mo Country.
Yeah. And so I kind of thought that while we were there. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun as shit.
Yeah.
Dude, everyone was super chill.
Yeah.
Everyone was friends. Everyone's laughing. Everyone's drinking too much. There were no fights.
Yeah.
We were there like 3 nights.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
But
the trip was
great.
The
reason Dave's in a bad mood is because we had to fly home out of Baltimore. And
Saturday night, I was pretty pissed.
We had like a 3 to 3.5 hour wait in the TSA line, and it was 100% manufactured and completely bogus.
I don't want to talk about it. I mean, like the details. We were there for 3 hours. I went back and looked. We were there 3 hours and 10 minutes before we got, from the time we got in line to the other side of the TSA.
Yep.
3 hours and 10 minutes, and then still had to go to the terminal. And then our plane was late on top of it.
Hey, which was kind of a blessing.
We would have made it.
We would have made it. We would have been just in the nick of time, but it's kind of a blessing. Yeah.
And then I got to fly home, and it's midnight. What time did we get home? 1?
Yeah. Yeah,
1:30.
We landed at like
what time we got home.
12:15. Got home at 1:30.
You're right. I was pretty bitchy.
Yep.
And I'm hoping that today's the last day of bitchiness.
We'll see.
Maybe my period will be over
maybe,
today.
Maybe your menstruation's over today.
Yeah.
So.
But anyways, it was a great time. I said this in Tradewinds, we have like a little, I do a Monday motivational, and I just, you know, try to get the guys up or give them a lesson or chew ass or whatever. There's no real rhyme or reason to what I talk about. But I mentioned in there that we don't advertise it, that we will come to your business and help you out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping a lot of guys don't take advantage of it. Not that I don't want to see them, but I don't want to travel.
Let's just hope the Baltimore people don't.
Oh, we got like 3 people in Baltimore. They're all cool too.
Yeah. So
I just hate traveling. It's just me being a bitch. That's really all it is.
The TSA issue. This is actually topical of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the unknown surprises and the unknown frustrations in business that will blindside you, but you have to figure out how to get past. So the whole TSA problem. It's manufactured by the government. They've been offered to fund TSA time and time again, and they choose not to because our congressional people don't actually work for the citizens. They just want to play out their petty little arguments and make the whole nation suffer because of it. And so they claim that TSA is understaffed because some TSA locations are funded, they're federal employees. And so they're funded by the federal government, and with a partial shutdown, they're not getting a paycheck, and so they're short-staffed. But then the few employees that are there, they are actively making decisions to make it painfully worse on everybody. For instance, at the Baltimore terminal that we were at, they have 2 of the old X-ray machines that require everybody remove all electronics from your carry-ons.
Were there 6 or 8 of the new ones?
There were 6 or 8 of the new ones that are bigger that you don't have to remove electronics.
Just throw your shit in the deal and roll.
Yeah. They made everybody go through the 2 X-ray machines where you have to remove all electronics and just completely ignored the others. In addition to that, they made a line of thousands of people wait out, and it was 56 degrees in the sun. Who knows what it was in the shade?
It was
and
cold.
In the wind. And we were outdoors for about 1.5 hours of our wait.
Did you notice? And I don't want to steal your thunder here. Did you notice that the news happened to be there when the line was the longest outside? And then did you notice when the news went inside to report, they opened up new lines so more people could be inside?
To make the lines look even worse indoors.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was
and so that's why I'm saying it's manufactured. Maddening. There's a giant empty building inside here, and they're making everybody wait outdoors. But then the line started moving quicker, and all they did was just snake and detour the line around the big, giant, empty building. As the news media went inside, they altered the line snake geometry and got a bulk of the line inside, so it looked worse inside and outside.
It was maddening.
Yeah.
And then did you notice? So you and I got split, at the TSA check. Uh-huh. You went to one machine. I was going to the other machine.
Yep.
My line was like four times as long as yours.
Yep.
Halfway through that line, and let's at this time, people are coming up to them going, hey, I've been here 4 hours and I'm going to miss my fucking flight.
Yeah.
Like people were losing their shit.
Yeah.
At about this same time,
they go ahead and open up the other machine.
Dude, those people that opened the third machine that was a full time came from the other two machines.
Yeah.
I saw the guy. I'm like seventh in line.
Yeah.
I see him walk from the second one to the third one.
Yeah.
And then three people, two of them came from the second and one came from the first, walked to the X-ray portion of it.
Yep.
They literally said, hey, half of you are going to go in this line. And they opened it in 10 seconds.
Yep.
With the same amount of personnel
they that were able to run
already
three machines.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
I...
Completely manufactured.
I thought I was gonna lose my mind.
Yeah.
Because I looked at the guy and I was like, "Do I have to take anything out here?" And he goes, "No, just put it all in there." I said, "Weren't you just working over there?" Yeah. I didn't say shit. I just because we'd been in line literally 3 hours, and I was like, "Nope, just move on."
So
I
put some short videos out about
obvious.
It. But this is something else we're gonna get into today. My Meta accounts, both Instagram and Facebook, are being heavily censored and throttled right now over some absolute BS. And it's, again, the topic of the show is unexpected surprises in business that you can't just give up. You got to find a way to fight through it, right? And so David and I are like, we're eyeballing rental cars and we're looking at like 16 hours of driving if we want to skip this TSA line and miss our flights from Baltimore to Kansas City. And we're looking at like, okay, if we miss this flight, our next flight, like, would it be faster to just skip all this and drive home and everything else? And again, it's all manufactured, but we can't change the manufacturer. Like, you're not going to go up and chew out a TSA agent because then you don't get to fly anymore ever. Right.
Yeah. We knew there was entrepreneurs or quote unquote, just good problem solvers. We'll just work the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work the problem.
Yep.
If you work the problem and there's no answer, that happens.
Yeah.
But what a lot of guys do is they just refuse to work the problem. They're like, nope, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're not doing it?
Yeah.
That's not a choice
here. The problem doesn't go away if we just say, no, I'm not doing it.
No.
Right?
And then those are the guys that fail the fastest.
Yeah.
And by fail the fastest, I don't mean fail the fastest and learn. I mean fail the fastest and go under.
Yeah. And then the excuse was... Well, the economy and well, the customers and well, the well, all the other things that everybody else fights.
Yeah.
The challenges everybody else has, they just refuse to work the problem.
I love the excuse, the world's against me. Yeah,
yeah.
You're right. It
yeah,
is.
It is.
It's against all of us.
Guess what? When the cavemen were here, the world was against them too.
Yeah.
Because they were worried about getting eaten by a saber-toothed tiger while they were trying to kill a mastodon to feed their family.
I don't understand it. It's like, this ain't news, bro.
Yeah. The normal stuff.
Yeah. You're lucky you're not dead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just keep rolling, dog.
Yep.
But it was eye-opening, frustrating, and amazing all at the same time.
And here's what's crazy is not all TSA locations have federal employees for their TSA. Some of them are private contractors. Well, the private contractors are still getting funded. So like Kansas City's airport, privately funded contracting TSA people. You're in and out of TSA in 12 minutes.
We walked in. I shot a video.
Yeah.
When we walked in, we were in line start to finish in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, it is Kansas City, and it was in the evening.
Yeah.
But even the worst I've ever seen, Kansas City, I think I waited like 40, maybe.
Yeah.
Like the worst it's ever been. Two lanes open.
And that would be like an... That would be like an unexpected heavy volume with like equipment, like X-ray machines going down and not working kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
40
like
minutes.
Kansas City has one larger X-ray machine, only one.
Yeah, the rest
but
of the
it's always open. It's their number one first to fire up, and then they bring on the other ones later.
Yeah.
And so there's a travel hack for you. As you're eyeballing TSA, and sometimes you get a choice into what X-ray machine you're going to go stand in line at, if you find the big ones, they're big,
they're
white, sometimes they're square, sometimes they look like a jet engine, like an airplane jet engine.
Yeah.
The ones in Vegas look like a big jet engine. But
the
big,
they're trying to
the
find
bigger
that
the
cocaine.
X-ray machine, the less likely you are to have to remove your electronics. So
yeah,
if you're ever wondering why sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. But yeah, Kansas City's privately funded, so they're insulated from that. A lot of other airports are privately funded, so they're insulated from it. But the Baltimore, Maryland, Washington, D.C. airport is absolutely pushing a narrative. It's the closest, it's one of the larger, closest airports to D.C., and they are absolutely pushing a narrative to try to see, like, see, this is why the other side needs to pass the bill.
I don't.
This is why the other side needs to pass the bill.
I thought it was glaring. When the news was there and the line was outside was that long.
Yeah.
And then when they went inside, everyone else went inside.
Yeah.
Like the light switch came on. I hadn't even thought about it.
Yep.
And then we went inside, or half the people went inside, and then I look in, and the news crew's standing there doing a live shot, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yep.
And then I think that was probably the start of my period.
Yeah.
And why I started getting so mad, and I was so tired and just wanted to go home. Like, it never really hit me, but when I got home, I was like, man, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And I think I've been stewing on it for like 3 days.
So, in addition to that...
Murder.
Let's talk about some of the other, like, surprises that you're going to get blindsided with. And I'll share a real-life example of what I've got going on with, like, my Meta accounts. Half the reason I'm sharing this is so that you know what's happening and you know to choose to get involved in this or not. The other half is to kind of prove the point of believe nothing you see on the internet and only half of what you hear. Like, that news crew. Believe nothing what you see from whatever that news crew shot, because it was staged, it was selective, and we were there to witness it, right?
Yeah, but people wouldn't know that. People, like, if you weren't there,
right?
You saw the news, and they're like, oh, look at the line outside, and then they snap
to let's go inside. Oh, my God, look at the line inside. Oh, my God,
it's just as long.
It's the same fucking line.
Like, are you telling me that you're not being manipulated by the news?
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
You know, when Obama was president, it used to be illegal for the government to propagandize your population. The government could not submit its own population to propaganda.
Yeah, I remember.
And now they can.
Yeah.
And they can.
No, I know. I thought that was under Bush.
No, Obama.
Was it Obama?
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Absolutely. So so that's part of it, right? But I've got something going on with my Meta accounts that is absolutely destroying my ability to succeed in business on Facebook and on Instagram. For those that don't know, I started a kind of a tax revolt group, a tax strike group on Facebook soon after Nick Shirley discovered all the fraud in Minnesota. I started this group on December 30th of 2025. And the group was growing by over 1,000 members a day for 97 days straight. Well, for like 90 days straight, in 90 days, it grew to 97,000 members. And in that time, I started having some weird stuff happen to my Meta account. My Meta account would get shut down and I'd have to jump through these hoops and get it put back up. And it would just say that my content violated their terms and conditions. And then I would put through these hoops and I would appeal it. And immediately, like, it would be like, appeal, submit an email. I'd give them an email. There would be like a confirmation code in the email where they would verify who I am. And then they would say, our AI made a mistake. Your account's back working again. And this happened like every other week. Maybe every week. It happened like every week.
It was probably every week.
And so it was just completely random. My Facebook would start acting really funny. Posts were disappearing. Not my posts. Like, I would be having conversations with people, and then half their comments are gone, making it very difficult to converse. And this is how social media throttles your ability to, like, have deep conversations with people on, like, meaningful conversations. They may be full of friction, but if you and I are willing to have, like, talk like adults about a passionate issue without calling each other names and calling each other's sides names, you know, bigots and racists and all the other ists and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't have that power.
But if we're able to do that, and Facebook sees that, well, then they just were like, oh, that's a constructive conversation where two people are going to end up more enlightened. We don't want that to happen.
No.
And so then they start removing comments.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
And if you're reading this and you've been in those types of conversations, you absolutely know what I'm talking about. The comment that you want to reply to is not there anymore, or a previous comment. And now you're accusing the other person of like, oh, now you're dirty deleting your comments. No, they're not. It's Facebook removing them.
Maybe we should go back to CB radios.
Maybe. But so I started this tax strike group, and undoubtedly, I'm sure the federal government's watching me and all of this stuff.
I want to make very clear here. I have no affiliation
yes.
with the tax group. I know AI is listening to our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I am not involved.
Yeah.
David Hilton in the tax group.
Yeah.
I paid my taxes already this year. It's not me.
I'm still waiting until next week.
Well, it's not April 15th.
I know.
You still have time.
I don't even get my K-1s until, I think, late this week. So.
Well, you say that. I gave you your K-1.
No, I know, but from other companies.
I know.
But anyway, so my social media accounts have been behaving really weird and everything else. One of our listeners to this show, she's actually about 40 miles from here, she made a post that showed a picture of a Dollar General from Google Maps. And
a lot of DGs out there.
and businesses will have like a title on Google Maps, and then it'll have like a short description of what that business does. And this says Dollar General, and then the short description was absorbs easily into the skin. And so she screenshotted it, she posted it on Facebook, and she said, well, that's a really weird description for Dollar General. And so I commented on it, and I said, it's the fentanyl. The fentanyl absorbs easily into the skin.
And this is where you get it, at this Dollar General.
And I didn't say that. But it was a joke about the typical clientele that goes to Dollar Generals and where Dollar Generals are placed strategically in cities. Okay?
Yeah.
There are paid content creators that make funny videos about the awkward placements of Dollar Generals. Like, there is a guy who he's like green screening himself standing into a field, and he's kind of in like a ghetto kind of field, and he's playing.
I don't even know what that means.
He's playing the part of
meth head.
No.
White
he's,
trash,
he's playing the part
trash,
of a Dollar head. General employee that's staking out their next location. And so he's talking to people that are like off camera because he's just a single creator.
Yeah.
And he's like, so you're telling me they found the dead body right here? All right. This place is looking good. Oh, they regularly clean up crack pipes on the property here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting better.
Yeah.
You know? And so like they're making full length videos, and Meta is paying them to create this content as an influencer and a creator
to keep people on the platform.
To knock Dollar General, right?
Yeah.
And it's a spoof, it's a parody, it's funny.
Yeah.
So
unless it's blackface, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. And so my comment was playing along those same lines of the typical clientele and the typical scenery that you would have at a Dollar General. Absorbs easily into the skin. Oh, it's the fentanyl. That's what absorbs easily into the skin. Facebook suspended my account momentarily, complete suspension, for violating their policy on drugs. And
which is pretty funny.
With me having the blue check, you get direct response to Facebook support, to Meta support. And so, in other words, you aren't just blindly messaging AI like you're supposed to get a real person.
Which is horseshit, because we all know it's AI now.
Well, they've now remodeled the Meta support to where it does all start through AI, even with the blue check. You get enhanced AI support now. And so I had to fight through that and get to a real person. And I said, show me how I violated your policy. Your policy doesn't say you can't mention the name of illegal drugs. Your policy doesn't say you can't mention the effects of those illegal drugs. And your policy does not say that you can't mention how those illegal drugs get into your system. Okay? There's plenty of videos out there, like, of body cam footage.
Yeah, of a cop just smelling it and going down.
Of a cop arresting somebody and then becoming ill.
They're both
and they realize that fentanyl is absorbed into their skin from the suspect they're arresting. Yeah. And now they're getting Narcan in the leg and all of this shit.
Narcan's up the nose.
Oh, it's up the nose? Yeah. It's not a... I thought it was like an EpiPen thing.
Nope. It's up the nose.
Shows what I know, right?
Hey, this is an educational program, Mitch.
Yeah. So anyway...
I'm not saying I've had to... You know what? Move on.
I feel like I should know that because we have Narcan in our house and we've put it in my older son's vehicle because you never know who, like, if he's out and around with friends.
No, I know, but it's like, dude, to think about that we're at that point.
Well, it's no different than giving your 17-year-old kid condoms. Like, you're just...
Oh, it's 100% different.
Well, yeah, like...
They're in control of that situation.
Well,
it's
not to say they're going to use the condoms for themselves, right? It's like, hey, I know what kids do.
We are going off the rails.
I know what kids do. You might need this. It's cool, right? Like, we got you. I'm a supportive parent.
You're a supportive parent. I'm the kind of parent that's murdering parents like you. This guy gave his kid condoms, and now he feels secure. You know what? Just move on.
So I argued with them, and I finally got them to unsuspend my account, and then they put it under restriction review. And I had to fight through them through this AI thing, and the chat platform that you talk to them on, it used to be Facebook Messenger, and with Facebook Messenger, you can send links, you can send photos, you can send screenshots, you can send all this stuff. But the chat platform that I have to message this enhanced AI support on does not support sending photos or links. And so you can send links, but it just shows up as letters. It doesn't show up as a clickable link. I finally tell them, like, look, you're asking me to send you a screenshot, and I can't. The platform literally doesn't allow it. So can we email back and forth? Can we call each other? Like, we got to figure something out. So finally I get them to email. So they're emailing me back and forth, and we go round and round, and I'm sending them screenshots of the original post, and I'm sending them screenshots of my comment, and I'm asking them for screenshots of what rule did I explicitly violate and all this stuff. Finally, they send me a nail-in-the-coffin email, and the gist of the email says, we are not overturning your restriction. Your accounts are heavily restricted for 90 days. You can't advertise on any business account you have for 90 days. All accounts stopped. I can't monetize my accounts for 90 days. And they just, like, broad stroke, you are greatly reduced on visibility. Far fewer people will see your content, right? Yeah. And so when I posted the video of us standing in line at BVI Airport, that video would normally, for me, that video would normally get 20 to 50,000 views. It got 1,400. That's how restricted my account is.
Do you think I could sue Meta because they're hurting my business through you?
I doubt it, but try. So, in also...
Any attorneys listening want to take on that case?
Also, in the
roll,
email...
Dog.
I mean, I'll read it just for the...
Let's fucking roll.
For the sake of...
Hell, I'll give you 50% if it's over $1 million.
Screenshots.
Own those motherfuckers.
Okay, so it says, thank you for sharing your concerns. I completely understand your perspective. Your feedback regarding your experience is valuable. I recognize how important it is for you to have confidence in the platforms you invest your in which you invest your advertising budget. Basically, the email I sent them prior to this, because they're locking down my ability to advertise, I said, businesses invest a lot of time, effort, and energy in choosing what platforms we go to market on. And for instance, I don't go to market on TikTok. There's no return there. I do go to market on Meta. But what I had told him in the previous email was, if you restrict my ability to advertise for an arbitrary interpretation of your rules, then why would I ever invest another dollar into Meta advertisement, knowing that for any reason whatsoever, on a whim, you could completely shut down that advertising channel for me?
Let's be honest. They don't give a fuck.
I understand they don't.
You ain't spending enough money.
I understand they don't.
You know, you ain't Joe Rogan.
So... Well, he doesn't even have to advertise.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And so basically I told him that this may even once the restriction is over, I may never advertise with Meta again because it doesn't make sense for me to create an advertising stream. There's a lot of work that goes into building an ad stream.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense to do that knowing that they could pull the plug at any moment for no reason whatsoever. And so they say, I hear your frustrations and I genuinely apologize that this experience has cost you cause you to reconsider your advertising strategy with us. This is certainly not the outcome we want for any of our business partners. Bullshit. Regarding the specific violation, I understand. Basically, in the previous email, too, I had told him that I stated the name of an illegal drug and that I stated a medical fact. None of those are against their policy. They are trying to say that I am encouraging illegal drug use and that I am educating people as to how to use those drugs illegally. I'm teaching people to use illegal drugs is what they claim.
Yeah.
Regarding the specific violation, I understand your point that your comment was intended as humor and reference to a medical fact. However, our community standards around drug-related content are designed to be applied broadly to help maintain a safe environment across the platform. We recognize that this may feel like an overly cautious interpretation in your case. Unfortunately, the decision has been made, and I am not in a position to overturn it. So they basically admit they are taking the most broad interpretation of their policy ever and slapping me with the full force of the violation.
I still don't think that it's Meta.
Correct.
I think the government is like, hey,
go to this guy, find anything you can, and shut him down because he's got this tax group with 100,000 people that are willing to stop paying federal income taxes.
I'm telling you, that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
This whole he admitted to being manipulated by the Biden administration.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, are you telling me that they're still not doing it now?
Right.
Under the Trump administration?
Right.
No.
Right.
The IRS is coming to him and like, hey, look, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy's trying to fuck with our revenue stream.
Yeah.
And so snuff him out.
And the way that we're running that tax group is completely above board. We're pissing some people off.
Stop saying we.
We as in myself and the other mods, not we as in you and me.
Thank you for the clarification, sir.
Yeah. But the way that we're running the tax group, like, you are not allowed to have divisive political posts in there. This is about tax fraud and stopping tax fraud. This isn't about arguing left or right.
Yeah, this isn't about Israel.
Right.
This isn't about the Iran war.
I'm right-leaning, and I'm still kicking out posts that support Trump, right? I'm right-leaning, and I'm still kicking out posts that are arguing about the war. And all of this crap.
Yeah, it's about taxes.
Yes. It's about taxes and fraud and the elimination of that.
It's really about tax fraud.
Tax fraud.
That's really what it's
about. We're done paying taxes until we can be assured that our money is actually going to fund the government and not fund fraud. Okay?
Yes.
And so that's essentially the purpose of the group. But yes, you are right. There has got to be somebody from the federal government that's putting pressure on Meta to restrict me in any which way they can.
And it's not just you. Like, let's be honest. There's a blacklist somewhere floating around.
Absolutely.
Meta.
It's no different than the 34 felonies they charged Trump with.
Yeah.
Never once in the history of ever has that violation been counted as a felony. Never once in the history of ever has that violation been split into the 34 payments. Okay.
Yeah.
It was one act that was paid for through 34 payments. Therefore, they converted an act that is never a felony up to, they elevated it to a felony. And then instead of saying it was one act, one felony, they say 34 felonies, right?
I know. And then people are like, well, he got away with 34. No.
No, he didn't.
No.
Right. So anyway, if you really want to.
Media manipulation.
If you really want to piss off a liberal when they talk about felonies, just ask them to name the felonies and they never can. So they just love riding that line. They love riding the headline, right? 34 felonies.
I don't.
Nobody can ever name the felonies.
I don't want to get political here.
So, but anyway.
Continue.
That is a thing I have to work with in business. Can I just throw my hands up? Sure. But then I'm out of business, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be like, well, the world was against me.
Yeah.
Right? But this happens anytime you want to do anything big. Okay. Anytime you want to do anything big, and I'm not just talking politics. I'm not talking anti-government type stuff.
It's not even anything big necessarily. Like if you step out of bounds in the new construction era and you piss off a inspector, you've had this happen.
Yeah.
Now you got to jump through 83 hoops to get the jobs.
Yes.
To get the jobs done. To get paid for the jobs. You've got to go to the in front of the board and make sure that your license is still, all good. Like it is, this is not just the big deal area, quote unquote. This is on a small scale, a medium scale, a large scale. The problems that can blindside you in business are endless.
Correct.
What really separates people from making their business successful and failing is the ability to have a workaround for that problem, or to look the problem in the face and go, I'm going to work this problem and I'm going to solve it.
Yeah.
Like that's the real difference.
So another example of a government crack in, again, these are governmental examples just because they're easier to find.
They're easier to understand.
I'll talk local examples here in a second, but, a big content creator out there, his name's Whistlin' Diesel. And he got famous by like destroying expensive things slowly and
then sped it up and now it's fast.
No. Like he will buy a Ferrari and then destroy it. And then he'll make a series of videos about it. And the money that he makes from the videos way more than offsets the cost of the Ferrari.
Yeah.
Okay. He bought like some $10,000 pair of Nikes, which is just fucking crazy that some shoes are worth that much. And then he trashed them. Like the first thing he does is he puts them on and creases them. And if you're a shoe, like a sneakerhead, creasing your Nikes is like the worst thing you could ever do. Right. And so he puts them on and then he like bends his toes and everyone's like, oh, right. Well, then he slowly gets it worse and he scuffs them and it slowly gets it worse. And by the end of the video, he takes it and shoves it up on the tooth of like a 20-ton excavator. And then he starts digging with it.
Ugh.
Right. So he's just destroying stuff slowly.
First off, I love it because Nikes are dumb.
Yeah. he would buy like a badass lifted on 35s or 42s, like, or 37s, like square body Chevy truck. And then he ran like a ratchet strap through the spokes of the wheels and then over the bed and then put it in like granny gear and slowly creeped it forward.
That
and,
actually hurts me.
And he watched
bit.
The bed
oh,
crinkle, right?
Dude.
And so then he trashes shit like that.
You know what? I may know why I don't watch him.
Yeah.
Like that would hurt my soul.
So he's done this stuff all over the place. He took a big lifted truck and he put an any level kit on it. He buried it just to see what would happen if you buried it and like the sunroof caved in. And then he filled the bed full of concrete and drove it around. And like he just does all kinds of crazy shit.
Okay, retard.
So he ended up getting blindsided arrested by I think the Tennessee State.
Was it for
sheriffs?
For tax fraud?
For tax fraud. And what it was one of the vehicles he's bought that he's used in filming that never set foot, the vehicle has never been in Tennessee. He registered the vehicle using kind of the entrepreneur loophole in Montana, which he has a legit LLC in Montana. But he registered it in Montana and then went to a third state on private property and destroyed the vehicle. And they're trying to get him for Tennessee tax evasion for not registering that vehicle in Tennessee. Okay?
I don't see how that's even possible, but yes, go on. They're that's fucking dumb.
This is big government clamping down on somebody trying to make an example out of it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been arrested now three times because he has a film crew around him 24/7. He's been arrested now three times for this very, very publicly. And he's out within like a matter of hours. And
yeah.
they'll tell him we're arresting you for tax fraud. Meanwhile, they've never sent him a letter for evading taxes or for frauding taxes.
I don't think
the first sign of anything is like, boom, you're arrested.
Well, technically, I don't think they have to.
They can't seize your assets without warning you. They can't seize your assets.
Being arrested and having your assets seized are two different things.
Well, they're seizing his assets at the same time they're arresting him. They're like, we're arresting you, and that car's ours now.
Well, I think that's legal. I think that's actually legal.
Okay. But again, that is another case of where he is pushing the limits and doing big things, and somebody is blindsiding him with a hurdle that nobody would ever expect.
Yeah, they're not giving him a hurdle. They're giving him another way to make money. They're just
right. He's
stupid.
He's making mileage on the content, right?
Yeah. Just dumb.
Another example of this, another influencer out there, his name's Diesel Dave. Diesel Dave does a lot of big things. He's got he owns a Black Hawk helicopter. He built a barge.
That'd be cool as fuck.
He built a barge big enough to land his Black Hawk helicopter on the barge on Lake Powell. And
that seems dumb, but okay.
It's cool shit, right? It's,
okay.
And so, you know, he does all of this kind of stuff. And there, I don't know exactly the parameters of his legal loopholes, but he's in big trouble with the government, too. And when
probably
you hear about
some, a Blackhawk.
Oh, no. No, he, like Whistle and Diesel owns a tank. A government. He's one of the only owners of a tank.
Look, man, I don't want to get off track here, but lately I have been watching a lot of really cool racing videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never in my life ever been like one of those guys that's like, I want to be rich. Man, I'm starting to think maybe I want to be rich.
Yeah.
Do you know how cool it would be?
Yeah.
Like, what'd you do? I went out and blew up a 488 GTB just for fun.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because we were hauling ass.
Because we had it. Because the
engine fucking exploded. Yeah. I don't know.
The guy was one position ahead of me and I wanted to get by.
Now I'm starting to get the itch.
So locally, how this happens, let's say you're a trades business. You're a home service business. And you decide, I'm going to stake my claim and hang my shingle out there. And I'm going to start my home service business. Well, in any market, there are only so many customers. And if you are going to create a business where there wasn't one before, in a market where there was a market before, then by definition, you creating your business is taking customers from another business.
Yeah.
You will find other businesses start doing very deceitful, very dishonest things against your business for taking business away from them. They will leave you bad reviews. They will slander you online. They will say disparaging things about you in social media groups and in chat forums. They will use AI against you and create videos that aren't even real and all of these things, right? Nick Shirley is a prime example of that. Gavin Newsom is trying to paint Nick Shirley as like a child bad toucher or child molester.
Of course he is.
Because he uses AI to create video. Gavin Newsom, a government official, his team is using AI to create videos against Nick Shirley where Nick Shirley's asking, where are the kids? As if he's wanting to see the kids instead of wanting to point out the fraud.
How can you, as a government official, do that?
Well, it's Gavin Newsom.
Keep in mind, such a piece of shit, man.
He has a bridge to nowhere, literally. I don't know the exact things, but like he has like some $400 million project to create a wildlife bridge over a highway.
I know what you're talking
that's
about.
Never been finished.
Yeah.
He has a train to nowhere. It's the most expensive train system ever built.
Oh, the one where they burned all those people's houses down so they could buy the land?
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
And there's still no train.
I know.
Right?
I know.
So, like,
I don't.
There's absolutely fraud, and how you know that to be true is the guy who's at the helm of the fraud ship is chastising the guy who's finding the fraud instead of saying, like, Nick, I'd love to have you help come in and find the fraud in California, because if the more fraud you find, the more money we can use for good.
Yeah.
That's what good leaders do, right?
Well, that's how you know that they're in
covering
on the
it up.
Fraud.
Right.
Yeah.
It's no different than Tim Walz in Minnesota.
It's completely obvious. You know what I don't understand is how can people still back them up?
Right.
Like, how do you think you still have the moral high ground?
They're just that delusional.
And
people are...
You think?
Uneducated people are most resistant to change their stance. The smartest people in the world will admit that I used to think about things this way and now I've changed. Okay? Prime example of that. And I'm not claiming to be smartest in the world, but prime example of somebody who is an evolutionary mind, like somebody who wants to grow and develop, is I used to think haters weren't real. I've changed my mind and now I think haters are real. It happens.
Haters are real.
It happens on those small scale things, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so if you have the capacity to recognize that I used to think about things this way and now I think about things this way, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Okay? And that doesn't mean you're caving. That doesn't mean somebody else won an argument. That means that you're an independent thinker, and based off of your observations with the influence of arguments from both sides, you have changed your position. Okay?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of far left or far right people that are completely uneducated and will never, ever change their mind, and they will ride their side to the grave.
It's
sick.
So crazy that the quote unquote educated, as in I have a diploma,
are
like the mass majority of those type of people.
Yeah.
And it's, I think honestly, and I get it. I actually get it. You paid a ton of money for education and you cannot go back and look yourself.
And it doesn't have the value.
And in the mirror and go, I can't believe they duped me.
Yeah.
And I spent that much money to do it. It's like they just can't get over the mental hurdle of I got fucked.
Well,
and so they will just, and people do this all the time. They will just put their foot down and be like, nope.
Yep.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Everything's good. I believe.
Yep.
It's like, you're making yourself, it's worse.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm watching a thing play out locally here in my network of friends. So my restricted account, I can still see everybody else's stuff. It's just not too many people see mine. And I'm watching these two short-term rental...
retards?
No.
Dumbasses?
No. They're very smart. Both of them are very smart people.
Well, you got to give me something here.
They're,
or I'm going to make up my own mind.
Well, I short-term rental moguls, okay? They've built their entire career off of owning hundreds of doors.
B&Bs. Airbnbs,
VRBOs.
That style.
Longer short-term rentals to where they rent them out for months.
Do I know these people?
No.
Okay.
But they have hundreds of doors, and they've acquired these doors through the BRRR method.
Yeah.
You buy a property. You rehab the property. You rent the property. So now it's an income-producing property.
And then you borrow against it.
And then you
buy the
refinance the property. And then you use the money that you cash out refinance to buy the next one.
And it works when it's 2.5, but when it's fucking 6.5, it's like...
Correct.
Fuck.
So, but again, in the short-term rental market, if somebody is a dominant player in that market, there's only so many properties that are eligible to be successful in the STR market. And yes. So another player comes in and they start crunching in on your properties, and now you start mudslinging.
They start...
Okay.
Pulling revenue. Oh, man, motherfucker.
And so I'm watching. What are you looking at? Oh, that's funny.
It's just light green, though, you know? God damn it.
I'm watching these guys absolutely sling mud at each other, and they both have a whole team of virtual assistants. And these virtual... That window doesn't work.
I know.
These virtual assistants are...
Shit.
Dave drove his nice car today and now it's raining. So
fucking motherfucker.
Hey, in the words of Carroll Shelby, he built these badass cars to drive them, not to sit and preserve for the next guy. That's like not fucking your girlfriend so the next guy can have a tighter vagina.
It wasn't supposed to rain. And now it's poor.
It was supposed to rain. But anyway. So I'm watching these guys sling mud at each other. They both have a whole team of virtual assistants that help manage their short-term rentals. And the intake and the client response and all the questions and everything else, they're launching their VAs to create attack campaigns on social media against each other.
Oh, God.
And it's like this crazy thing. I guarantee you that neither one of them thought that was going to be a thing, right?
Yeah.
But the most successful will prevail. Absolutely will prevail. They don't give up, right? Take any high-level narco person out there. Okay. What was the guy's name that George Young that Blow was named after? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't even smoke weed in the beginning of the movie. Then he smokes weed and he's like, this is cool. Then he identifies we could sell this and make money, but there's already a weed market and he knows the constraints of all of that. And so he realizes cocaine's not very popular. So he circumvented some of this undue pressure initially, because keep in mind, this pressure comes in when you are stealing marketplace presence from others.
Yeah.
Okay. So he circumvents that temporarily by introducing cocaine to the U.S. And as he introduces cocaine to the U.S., he invents a market. And he even says in the movie, and it's a fact, that between these certain years, if you snorted cocaine, there was an 85% chance it came from him in the U.S. And so he's able to stick through it and solve these hard problems. How do we get more in? Well, we can only take so much on a commercial airliner and the heat's catching. So maybe we start driving it. Well, then he gets busted with like 660 pounds of weed in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? Well, then he flips over to cocaine, and he's by then they've already started flying it. And so now he's like, well, we'll just use our planes and fly it. Well, then he starts running into issues with planes, right? And then he starts running into issues with other people seeing the market that he's created and crunching in on his market, right? And he ends up getting muscled out of the whole deal.
Yeah.
And all of that. If you've seen the movie Blow, you get it. But it's another prime example of when you come into a market and you want to do something. Now, if you want to come into a market and do little things, you'll fly under the radar forever. But if you want to do larger things, you will absolutely find pressure that you never even knew existed.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't have an answer for it because the answer is different every single time. But the big answer is it's okay to fail. It's not okay to give up.
Yeah.
Okay? It's okay to try and fail. It's not okay to fail to try.
Well, I think the point is, regardless of what you do, where you do it, how you do it, you're going to be bombarded with
yes.
problems like this. You're going to be blindsided.
Yeah.
Things are going to come in that you're not going to expect. No matter how much planning and preparation you do, there's going to be a curveball.
Yep.
It's tell yourself that from the get-go.
Yeah.
This is not, I have my path laid out. This is not going to be the path I walk.
Yeah.
I know right now, looking at it, the plan, that it's not going to go this way.
Right.
But I need to be open to every weird situation, every problem. I need it to not knock me down a peg or two pegs.
Yep.
I need it to fuel me to get past it, to problem solve, to learn, and then get on with it. People like to, when they're confronted with a problem or a big issue or a hurdle, they like to go into baby syndrome, as I call it. They mm-hmm. curl up into a little ball. They don't want to face it. They yep. just, nope, can't do it. Can't yep. do it. What do you mean you can't do it?
Right.
Get the fuck up and do it.
Yeah.
Move on with your life. Solve the problem. Fire the employee. Fire the customer. Get a transmission for the van. Do whatever the hell you got to do. But get the faster that you can get past that problem, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
Yeah.
People like to just dwell on the problem and dwell on the problem and dwell on the problem. Next thing you know, three weeks has gone by, and instead of you just punching it in the face day three
yeah.
and getting past it, it's still in your life. You're yeah. still thinking about it.
Yeah.
There, you will not win that way.
One of my good mentors said the best way to solve a problem is to surprise it by punching it in the mouth when it doesn't expect it.
Yeah.
Okay? And like, how many times have we have an upset customer and we put off calling that upset customer because it's going to be a problem. We don't want to do it. We don't want to have to go through that ridicule. The customer's a pain in the ass. I don't like confrontation, all this crap. Well, ignoring that upset customer, not only does it make it not go away, it makes the customer more upset. It literally makes the problem bigger, right?
Yeah.
And so the best thing to do is solve that problem by surprising it by punching it in the mouth when it doesn't expect it. Customer calls in, upset. Like, the moment you get the note, you drop what you're doing and you call them right away. And I guarantee you that customer is going to say, wow, I didn't expect to call back that fast.
Yeah.
That puts them in a better mood. That gives you higher ground. It gives yeah. you leverage. Now, you solve their problem, kill them with kindness. Own up. If you made a mistake, own the fuck up to it. We make mistakes. It fucking happens.
Own it. Move on.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So rather than beating around the bush and trying to pretend to the customer like you're perfect because they already know you're not, they're upset.
Yeah.
Like, you can't convince them otherwise. Own up to it. If you got to give them 50 or 100 bucks back, give them 50 or 100 bucks back. Yeah. Like, do whatever it takes. But if you don't, that customer would become a massive problem for you. Massive problem. And they'll go leave bad reviews. They'll say disparaging things. They'll tell everybody. Like a happy customer tells maybe one person or two people, if you're lucky, about their service.
Yeah.
An unhappy customer will tell 10 to 20.
Yeah.
And so you got to solve those problems quickly. But ultimately, if you're going to do big things in business, if you want your business to double in size in 1 year, it ain't going to be easy. And there's going to be months where it looks like we're going to triple in size. And there's going to be months where we have less in the bank account than we've ever had before.
Yeah.
But you got to stay the course, and you got to trust the process, and you got to keep rolling, yeah. right? There was a point in the 80s when FedEx had less than $5,000 in their bank account, and they had a weekly $157,000 fuel bill to pay. Okay?
Can you imagine?
FedEx is still here today. You think they figured out how to solve that problem?
Yeah, shitty service.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We don't know where your package is. Oh, we delivered it?
Dude,
great.
I can't believe FedEx is still in business. They're the they're worse than the post office now.
I know. Yeah. But, like, what's funny is a lot of people admire Steve Jobs, but they admire his results. They don't admire his stick-to-itiveness. They don't admire his unwillingness to give up. They just admire the results.
Yeah.
But what's funny is people of both sides will admire him. The highly educated people will admire him.
Yeah.
And the people that went a different route admire him. Steve Jobs based his entire career on the fact that college is a waste of time, because you will learn if you understand that all college does is teaches you how to learn. It does not teach you anything directly.
No.
You are opening yourself to be taught things, and that takes place on a college university. But in today's world, you can literally learn anything on the internet if you put your mind to it and if you choose to learn. College teaches you how to learn, but you don't need college if you just choose to learn, unless you're in one of those fields that requires a degree.
I think middle school and high school is
very same way.
Come to that too. You know, it used to be like you learned a lot of really hands-on things. Like that you took with you.
Yeah.
And now I think it's probably 50-50 mix of it's literally teaching you how to learn.
Remember our home health class? I think it was called home health.
Yeah. Pictures of wee-wees?
No. That was health class.
You home mean where health. You had to make your own pillow?
You were partnered up with a person in the classroom, and you were proverbial like husband and wife.
Oh, yeah.
And you were given jobs, and you were given budgets, and you were given the amount of kids you have.
Yeah.
And you had to make it work.
Yeah.
Right? And what was her name?
It was so ironic because
I think it was Nikki Zumwalt was my partner.
Everyone had a different amount they made.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Why am I poor in real life and in this class?" I was like, "What the fuck kind of bullshit is this?"
Yeah, but like our situation, you know, like anyway, those classroom situations were to how to teach you to survive through life. I was yesterday years old when I learned that there is yoga. In high school, you can actually get credit for taking a yoga class. And
dude, it's got to be burned down to start it over.
There is a fitness walking class 101 and a fitness walking class 102.
It's called PE, motherfuckers.
We're literally having our high school students walk around a track or a gymnasium for credit.
I don't understand, dude. Layla's...
Meanwhile, we can't teach them how to balance a checkbook. We can't teach them cursive because then they could read the Constitution.
I don't understand.
Real life shit. We can't teach them how to pay taxes. We can't teach them how to save for taxes. We can't teach them how to invest their money because the education system...
These people that are on the school boards are fucking retarded.
Absolutely.
It's unfuckable. You know how I know that physical education is a joke? Because my 13-year-old daughter does PE. They play pickleball in PE.
Yeah.
And her and her friend, like...
Dominate.
They won the whole fucking... They beat all the boys. They beat everyone.
Yep.
And I'm like, you telling me these fat little boys can't beat two 13-year-old girls?
Absolutely.
What the fuck are we doing here?
So I've got some in-laws that have kids in the Columbia School District. And I think I alluded
We've
to this.
We've talked about this on the show before.
So we were talking about that a little bit last night. It was the English teacher that pulled the that called my nephew homophobic loser, right?
Yeah.
So her options, the only other English class they have is an openly trans English teacher with all of the memorabilia plastered all over the classroom. And so she's
"Okay, fucking rich I would be if my kid went to that school."
Right.
Well, I will spend it all, dog.
If you looked at the school board leader, I mean, it is like the final boss at a No Kings protest.
Dude, I keep saying, like, get a shovel and a buddy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're moving that way.
So she moved him to a private English study where he basically sits in the library and he's the only student in, there is no real class.
Dude, right? I bet you by the end of the year, there'll be 10.
She just learned last night. They don't have anybody guiding him. They hand him a curriculum and say, figure it the fuck out.
It's probably the best thing for him.
They won't even give the curriculum to the parents. And so now his English grade is horrible because he doesn't really even know what he's supposed to be doing.
Dude, how do they not own that school by now?
I know.
I'd be recording a video every day when he came home and asking him. I'd be having him wear Meta glasses and recording videos and on his phone, and that school would be shut the fuck down.
Why do you think they took recording devices out of schools?
Dude, I don't want to get
into this. In Missouri, it's now a state law where you can't have your cell phone and you can't record video in school.
You know what? I like to remind myself that my daughter's got 5 more years. But what keeps creeping into my brain is if she has kids and then they're my grandkids.
Homeschool.
I was thinking murder everyone. But yeah, well, that's a good idea too.
That works. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's dude, how can you seriously think, not you, I mean people think, that we're moving in the right fucking direction.
Right.
How can you look yourself in the mirror and go, this is the right way? No. Yeah. You
absolutely.
Motherfuckers are retarded.
Yeah. Yeah. This is
fucking
not good.
Homeschool it is, dog.
This is not good for civilization, right? With freedom comes chaos. And if you want the freedom to grow your business, it's going to be chaotic. And the more freedom you have in business, the more chaos you will have.
You know what I don't understand, too, is... Not to completely switch gears, but to your point earlier of with Whistle and Diesel and like these cops and these prosecutors that are coming in, you know, we all want to pretend like the government is different than us. The government is full of regular people that like and do all the same things that we do. The real shift is going to happen when those people realize I'm fucking guys that are just like me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop.
Yep.
And when they all stop,
yep,
the big shift will happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how that looks or when that takes place or
why do you think I'm looking to get into politics? It's because I'm tired of watching everyday people screw over everyday people.
I don't think that's where it's at. I think it's when people that enforce politicians rule and enforce the unconstitutional laws go, nah,
so
I don't think so.
So what happens is like when a prosecutor lets off a murderer and then that prosecutor shows up dead a couple weeks later, all of a sudden every other prosecutor thinks twice about letting off murderers. And then when that happens 2 and 3 and 5 and 10 and 20 and 100 times around the nation, well, now prosecutors are like, no, we're actually prosecuting murderers.
I don't think it's going to happen.
The last Super Bowl parade in Kansas City for our most recent Super Bowl win.
Dude, that is bullshit.
So there were two gangbangers that had beef with each other, and they started firing guns at each other. And like 30 people got hit with gunfire, and neither of the gangbangers got hit.
No. Killed an innocent woman.
Killed an innocent woman. That dude just got all... The bullet that killed the innocent woman came from this one guy's gun. It's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. That dude just got off of a manslaughter or murder charge under the Missouri Castle Doctrine, which states that you have the ability to defend yourself if you feel like your life's at risk. And the nasty, disgusting lawyers, attorneys, and prosecutors sided with an argument that states... We don't know who agitated and who aggressed first, and so we're going to apply the Castle Doctrine and say he was well within his rights to defend himself, and because of that, this is unintended collateral damage. All charges dropped.
I'm not going to
lie. So now there is a deadbeat gangbanger that has no business being on our streets because he brought a fucking gun to a parade.
I agree with you, but there is ground there. Say it wasn't a deadbeat gangbanger. Say it was an 85-year-old grandfather who's defending his family and accidentally kills that broad. You know what I mean? I completely understand. It makes sense. When your life is in danger. Now, and I'm not saying that he wasn't the instigator. Okay, so if he was the instigator and blah, 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 whatever. But if your life is in danger or your family's life is in danger, you will do whatever it takes.
I get it. I totally get it. But the fact
so
that
you
he
have to have the law.
The fact that he showed up with a gun. The fact that he didn't de-escalate a situation.
Dude, you're allowed to carry guns.
Not in a public parade.
Yes, you are.
No.
Dude.
Open carry only.
Okay. The Second Amendment says uninfringed. I should be able to carry a gun wherever the fuck I want, whenever the fuck I want. I don't care.
Can't do it.
And the Constitution says, they keep making these fucking bullshit laws. That guy, if that guy was not a felon, he was allowed to carry that gun.
He was a felon.
Well, then he
was illegally carrying the gun.
Okay, so he's going to get 5 years for that at least.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. All these things stack up to say this guy is deadbeat trash. And we're going to... So the rules that you're talking about are rules that you would put in there if it is the 85-year-old grandfather that's protecting his granddaughter and all this crap. No prior felony charges. No prior weapons charges. No prior nothing. It is literally a guy defending himself. All the facts with this thing state and prove this guy is a deadbeat that needed to be behind bars way before this parade.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But the problem is when you have laws in place, you are a victim of those laws. You have to follow them.
Yeah.
You can't just say, oh, well, you know.
No, I get it.
If the law needs to be rewritten, it needs to be rewritten. But if the law states it is what it is and this guy gets to go, that's on people that made the law.
It's no different than Jean Peters Baker, which was our former prosecutor in Jackson County. She let a murderer off. And he went out and killed a cop within a week.
Yeah, but that's an apple and orange scenario. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's different.
And if a bartender can receive criminal charges for over-serving a patron, and that patron drinks and drives and kills somebody on the way home, in 34 states in the U.S., the bartender can be held liable.
Yeah, I know.
But yet in no states in the U.S. can a prosecutor or an attorney or a judge that lets somebody off and then they go kill somebody else, in no states in the U.S. are they held liable.
Yeah,
It's a lopsided thing.
Well, I think the lawyers and prosecutors should probably be inept from that, exempt from that. But the judges shouldn't be.
I don't know.
Dude, you can't have those are what you would consider arbitrary.
Yeah.
You can't, that's a judgment thing. You can't, it's got to be a fact. Like you can't, it's impossible.
Yeah. But like.
But the judges, yes.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, this is times three. I feel like he's going to be better.
Yeah.
Your feeling was wrong. You got to be held accountable. Right. Sorry. Like that's different.
Right. And that's what I mean, is they use the law to get bad people off. It is the criminal justice system. It provides justice for the criminals. It's not the victim justice system.
We talked about this the other day about, you know, with freedom comes chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So do you want to be free or do you want to live in a box?
Right.
So there's going to be collateral damage.
Right.
I mean, and it's a horrible thing to think about.
It is.
But
it is.
I don't want to live in a box either, so.
Right, right. Like, I've gone to those parades before, and I don't like them. There's too much.
I went to the World Series parade in 2015.
Yeah, I went to that one.
And Janine, Layla was little. Mm-hmm. And she was like, can you take her? I was like, no.
No, no way.
Like, I have better judgment. Like, no.
I took our kids. Our kids are a couple years older. Ironically, we missed the whole fucking parade. Because
we just went to Union Station.
That's all we did. We went to Union Station, but then you didn't even know when the parade was going to show up. Cell phone service disappeared because there's literally a million people where there's usually 10,000.
Yeah.
And then my kids have tiny little bladders.
Yeah.
And so I had to go rush them inside to the bathroom, and while we were in peeing, the whole parade went by. Oh, and we waited for like 3 hours for this parade. So anyway, but that was enough for me to say, this is a lot of people here. There is nowhere near enough control. Shit's going to get out of hand and all of that stuff, right? We had an incident in Blue Springs, in our city, over the weekend.
First off, Blue Springs is a dump.
At Target, right? All these kids gather and hang out and kind of show off their cars, and it's no different. This has happened for generations after generation. This happened in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. And it's still happening now.
Well, it's different now.
I don't see it any different.
They all got fucking guns. They don't have respect for people in the store or the stores. They have no respect for other people that are driving by. like these people that block an intersection and have these little part.
Uh-huh.
That shit never happened. Like they would drag race up and down the road.
Yeah.
They would get in a parking lot together and drink some beers, but they were never like fighting with patrons. They were never, when the cops came, they just scattered and left. They didn't right. fight with them. It's different, dude.
It is different, but it's still the same. It's still
no,
kids.
Disagree.
It's kids gathering together, and when you get a lot of juveniles together, somebody's going to make bad decisions. Mob mentality makes you feel like it's somewhat okay and all of that, right? So like the sideshow thing, where they block off intersections and yeah. do their donuts and all that shit. To me, that is, it's the same but different on when we would go street racing down streets. We weren't blocking off all those intersections. And if a car came across one of those intersections, a crash happened, right? So we didn't respect the other drivers on the road when we were street racing. If anything, the way they're doing it now is actually more respectful to other drivers nah. because they had the whole intersection so blocked off, you can't even get in there.
No, we stopped right? it. When the light turned, we didn't blow through it.
Oh, we absolutely did.
Some kids
I mean,
did.
I did. But,
like, when we used to go on Nolan Road,
yeah.
race them down, we would go to Sam's Club. You know what that was? An empty fucking parking lot.
Yes.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
To get away from everything else. These kids want to interject themselves into everyday society and be like, and pound their chest like, ugh.
Yeah.
No, stop.
The only difference between then and now is now we can easily put videos on YouTube and we can get clout and we can get content and all of that stuff. And so you're seeing people, you like that adds fuel to the fire, the ability to video it. And back then, ironically, I just shared a video today from 17 years ago where I took, remember the lipstick cam that you and I used to have?
No.
We bought it together and we took it skiing and put it on our helmets.
I'm going to say no.
Oh.
Was there anything of me on it?
No.
Okay, then I remember.
This is when I mounted it on my motorcycle. And
yeah.
I mounted it on my motorcycle and took it on the racetrack. And I was talking about how hard it was to video things back then.
Yeah.
Like
it was a bitch.
We had a battery pack. We had hard wires. We had like a standalone DVR. That video took over like 14 hours to upload to YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's only a 10-minute video.
Yeah.
Of me running around a racetrack, right?
It was brutal.
But now the ease of video and the ease of all that is a change. But all it does is bring awareness to things that are happening and were happening at scale that we just never knew of before because there was no video evidence.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely happening, right?
Yeah.
And so the like essentially humans haven't really evolved much. The tools that we use have evolved.
Yeah, we're in de-evolution.
How we have fun has evolved. We used to have fun by street racing, and now they have fun by doing donuts in the middle of intersections. But it's still an inconveniencing activity to all those that are by. It's still mildly dangerous to people that didn't choose to be a part of it, right? All of those things. But this thing that happened in Blue Springs, you see the public making this massive outcry about how it's this massive atrocity. And it's like, I don't really think, and I'm not excusing the kids.
I don't think it's an atrocity.
I'm not excusing the kids' behavior. Like, one kid got arrested. I've seen the videos. He absolutely deserved to be arrested. There's other kids, like, heckling the cops because now a video that's kind of a popular thing to do is try to push back on cops.
Yeah, which is a problem.
Right.
Dude, when the cops showed up when we were kids, scatter.
Scatter. Or invite them into the front. Well, you got to invite them
through
the front window.
It was scatter. It was like, hey, don't be the slow guy.
Yeah.
See ya. You know, you're out, and like, let's be honest, like when we were kids, you didn't go into Target and raise eight kinds of bullshit, harassing people, stealing shit, like in a group format where you were literally trying to get everyone to look at you. We stole shit.
Yeah.
But it was like, you did it quiet.
We didn't have the camera.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's fucking bullshit.
So, but like, I had a gun pulled, like you were talking about, now they have guns. I had a gun pulled on me on Nolan Road 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So they had guns back then.
Yeah, they had
you
guns.
You just didn't hear about it because, again, no video. You and I both damn near got arrested in a Hooters parking lot at one of those pop-up car shows.
It was, first off, those weren't cops. That was MIP enforcement.
They were alcohol and liquor enforcement.
They were liquor patrol.
Yeah.
And it's just a ticket. It's a fine. You move on with your life.
Yeah.
But we didn't, the kids nowadays would have been like, you're not cops, and fought them.
Yeah, maybe.
No, not maybe.
The empowerment of the video.
Yeah.
Right?
They'd have fucking tried to fight them all.
Yeah.
And there would have been 16 kids fighting two cops. Like, we were like, okay, we got you got us. You got us, bro.
I guess ultimately what I'm trying to say is
you got us.
Things aren't things aren't different at scale now like they used to be. They occur at scale the same. They just occur. They present themselves differently, right? We were kids that would cause chaos as kids, right? We would go party in fields. We would break into Boy Scout campsites and have camping parties. We would break into the soccer fields at Hidden Valley, and we would all go play soccer in the middle of the night. Like, we were doing technically bad things, but we just didn't have it on video, and so nobody knew it was happening at the scale it was. And this was happening all over the nation, right? Farm parties, if you're a farm kid, or a party on the turn road or the gravel road or whatever. But now it's all on video and everybody knows about it. So that's the biggest thing we have to appreciate from our generation, is all of our shit is undocumented.
I think what really gets me out of all of it is even though we would do things like that, there was still
a level of respect.
There was
you caught me.
There was a level of respect for cops.
Yeah.
For homeowners. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For regular people. And now there is no respect.
Right. No, I get that.
At all.
I get that. That ultimately, as you're going to go through business, you are going to find things that blindside you that you weren't expecting. And whether it's somebody online slandering your business because you're crunching in on their territory, whether it's the city inspector that you have beef with that makes your job harder than most other jobs, you are going to have those challenges, and you have to face those challenges to get and achieve what you want to achieve. And the wimpy way out is to say, well, society is so different now that you just can't survive. If you have that mentality, you won't survive, right? You are going to want all of the protections and all of the lack of freedom, but total structure that life has come in your way, right? And so if you want the freedoms that come with doing big things, and you want the freedoms that come with owning larger businesses, you got to be ready for some chaotic shit. And you got to be ready to handle it as diplomatically. You don't want to handle it for clout. You want to handle it for progress. So you got to be able to handle it as diplomatically as possible, right?
Yeah.
You and I standing in that TSA line, we could have thrown 7 kinds of shit, but it wouldn't have helped us at all.
You wanted to.
Oh, I wanted to.
I could see it in your face.
Well, I let you get in line, and I went to the TSA person that was like, the line was so bad they had to have this lady holding a big ass sign that says end of line.
Yeah.
So you even knew where it was.
We talked about it in line. The only reason I didn't raise 8 kinds of hell is because
you had somewhere to be on Sunday.
Layla had soccer on Sunday, and I wasn't going to miss it.
Yep.
And I was like, nope. I was like, we're just going to, I'm going to fucking eat it.
And
I'm just going to do, I got to do what I got to do to make what I want happen happen.
I will. I'll close it out on this.
Yeah, we got to
wrap. Who were the most pleasant people in that whole line? The ICE agents. They had ICE agents stationed around, walking around.
I'm not going to lie. We talked to 3 of them. They were fantastic.
They were awesome.
And this whole thing of ICE is trying to get people at the airport. No.
No.
They were helping organize people.
Yeah.
They were at pinch points of the line. Like, okay, you go here, you go here, you go here to speed it up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
No one was checking IDs.
No, not at all.
No one was going up to brown people and going, hey,
let me check your papers.
Are you a fucking citizen?
Right.
No. They were literally trying to organize people to make the line move faster.
They were a visible presence and a show of force just to help keep things calm.
And let's be completely transparent. I saw 4 of them.
Uh-huh.
2 were white, 1 was black, and 1 looked like a Mexican guy.
Yeah. That black guy was jacked as fuck.
Dude, that black guy was fucking huge. When I saw him, I immediately thought, no one is fucking with that guy.
Yeah.
And he was out there like on the phone, standing up like,
yep.
Nope, this is what we're doing. This is what's going to happen. Like, they were literally there to help people.
Yeah. If anything, the TSA agents, especially the ones running the X-ray machines, were the ones that were instigating and picking and causing problems.
I don't want to talk about that.
And all of that shit, right? So
it was fucking bullshit. It's what it was.
Ultimately,
it was complete optics.
In business, you will get bodied by things you weren't experiencing and by people that you thought you could trust or think that you didn't plan for them to be a problem. You got to learn how to get past it. You got to learn how to move on, and you got to learn how to still grow your business. And the bigger you grow your business, the more chaotic the crap you are going to find and the more chaotic the crap is going to surprise you. Address it swiftly, address it calmly, with the goal in mind of moving forward. You don't want to go out in a blaze of glory on some kind of tangent because your reputation's on the line or some bullshit like that. You still want to achieve the goal.
Yep. 100, so, bro.
All right. Until next time, guys, we will see you later. If you like this show, please do us a favor and share this show. Share it on your social medias. Share it with your friends that want to start their own businesses. Hell, share it with a friend that you know is going through some shit right now in their business, and they could use a little bit of inspiration. So until next time, guys, we'll see you.